You know, in looking at great men, have you noticed that great men always have a great appreciation for great women? You know, and it's said that behind every great man is a great woman. But you know, really, I've thought about that, and maybe it should be said this way: before every man, great man, and after every great man is a great woman. Because before every great man, there was what? A great mother. You know, Abraham Lincoln, made this statement, all that I am, I owe to my angel mother. But do you know where he got that statement from? It's almost verbatim what George Washington said. The only change is the word angel. So George Washington made that statement, and Abraham Lincoln, years later, it's attributed to him. He just added the one statement, though, that his mother was an angel. How many of you think that way about your mom? Amen. Now, most of us have had great mothers, but some of us may not have. You know, that's possible. You didn't even know your mom. Maybe she died years ago. But in this message today, we want to show this, that God created mothers because a man cannot show all that God is. But a man and a woman, a father and a mother together, can show all that God is in the attributes of God. So mothers have some attributes that men do not have. How many of you know that's so? Okay. And I say praise God for that. Napoleon said, give France good mothers, and France will have good sons. And more than what the politicians can give us, and more than what educators can educate us, and more than the entrepreneurs can provide for us, a mother gives its nation the men and women who could change the world. And so it's what they're able to do that God recognizes, and thus not only suggests that we honor mothers, but he even commands it, doesn't he, Carolyn? Mm-hmm. And so here's a couple of passages for us to begin with, and then I'll ask Carolyn to pray for us, and she's going to assist me during the sermon. She got me in church. Now, for 45 years or so, she's kept me in church. And so now she's keeping me in the pulpit. So isn't that great? Amen. She's done a wonderful job. When Moses went up on the mountain and in a gasp of the glory of God, and so that he could hardly lift his hand, he saw the finger of God right upon stone. The commandments that God would have you and me know, so that we can have a society that really works. And if God has not thought of it, it doesn't work. Whatever else men may think they can do, they can never hold it together. But God can. And upon the stones, he wrote the things that we should learn of all that we should know. These 10 are just a must. And toward the end, he says, honor thy father and thy mother, that your days may be long upon the earth that your God has given you. And then later in the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul puts a stamp upon those statements again and says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right. And he says, and there's a promise, a commandment that is given with a promise added on to it, that thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother, because God said, I promise you that if you will do this, your days will be long and you'll be blessed upon the earth to which God has given us. So let's pray that these things happen today in this message, that we understand what God's given us, our mothers, how they can live a life of honor so that they can cultivate that in the lives of their children, and how that we as kids, children, can honor them, the things we should do for them. And then if we have a chance, we'll let maybe some of you, one or two of you, share something about your mother if you want to. We didn't have much of a chance in the early morning service because Carolyn preached too long. So, or I did, one of us. So pray for us, and then we'll get started.
Father, I thank you that you are our
yes,
God.
Amen.
All the attributes that we should know come from you, Lord. And as a mother and as a father, we complete that picture to our children and to the lost world. I pray, Father, that you would anoint your word, Lord. I pray that each of us that hear your word today, that we will be challenged to be more like you. I pray, Father, that we would learn to honor our parents, and as children, that we learn to obey, and as we grow up, that we learn to honor our parents. And I pray, Father, that all of this would just ricochet into a way of life that we will honor you. Father, we just praise you for being our God, and we ask that you speak to our hearts. I pray personally that you would change my ways so that I would be like you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. We're of the first of the five ways that a mother builds honor in her life and in relationship to her children is something that is so easy for a mom to do, and that's to simply love her kids. She doesn't have to go to school, college, get a master's degree to learn how to love. It is an instinct that lies within the heart of a mother to love her children. It is an automatic thing, and long before she can recognize their voice or see their smile or know their mannerisms, that mother is loving her daughter, her son, in her womb because she has an instinct to do so. And there's something about a mother's love that you just can't find anywhere else. Now, fathers, we love our kids. We should. But a mother's able to love her child in a way that, if I could say it this way, it's more communicatable. I don't know if that's even a word. But she can communicate love to the kids in a way that sometimes the father just can't do. I've heard many mothers say to their kids, you know, your dad really loves you. It's almost like the kid don't know it. Well, no, he doesn't, because sometimes the austere countenance of the father, his lack of being able to put into his own physical body and emotion that dictates or communicates that love, but the mother, it just kind of flows out of her. I don't know why that is. Do you, Carolyn? But it's really there. Listen to what a poem by Helen Steiner Rice. And this is just one little stanza of this poem that's a rather famous poem. She says that a mother's love is something that no one can explain. It is made of deep devotion, sacrifice, and pain. And I think that may be the case, because the Bible indicates that a mother is able to suffer more in the lives of her children than the father is. Did you know that? The Bible says that a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness or the grief of its mother. What it means is this, is that a mother is able to empathize and feel the pain and the suffering of her kids the way his dad cannot. It's a phenomenon. But it is true that there is something about a mother's love that is beyond a father's love in the way that the child can receive it. And that's why we need the love of a father. And we need the love of a mother to really experience the full gamut of how God loves every one of us. And it's often through the suffering, I believe, that the mother can convey this. Because every mother has suffered in childbirth, unless she had a really good doctor with a lot of drugs. And she has suffered when the children are young in a lot of ways that the fathers know not very little about. And so a mother has love that brings honor to her in the eyes of her son or daughter. So of the first, and maybe the most important, God has given the mother an ability to love the kids in a way that we ought to always appreciate. What about number two, Carolyn, that limiting of the children? That's something mother does well, too.
We have limits that we have with our children. And in my life, I'm working on a book called Nina's Law. And I'm writing that book right now and taking notes. But all of us have, as mothers, we have limits that we have in our children's lives. And when our children grow up, they still always are our children, are they not? Yes. I mean, and now you may limit your mother's love to you, and many people do that, I'm sad to tell you, but God always intends for your mother to always want your best good. And she will advise you whether you want to know it or not. She will. So don't limit your mother from being what God has placed in her heart to be to you, no matter how old you are. And sometimes, is there any other part about that you want me to talk about?
Well, I want to share this proverb that we have here. My son, hear the instruction of your father and forsake not the law of your mother. Notice the difference there, yeah, that God says to kids, hear the instructions of a father. In other words, skill development is a function of the father. He is to teach the kids how to do things, teach the kids how to develop skills where they can make a living. He gives the instruction. But who better than a woman can lay down the law? And so the mother can give these laws and principles of what needs to take place around the home. And I heard a story once about a man came home. There was his young children playing out near the highway, still in their pajamas. And one of them was making mud pies right on the side of the road. He said, get off the road, kids, get off. And he kind of shooed them over there. As he came out, he saw the door open. Door was open to the car. The door was open to the house. And he went in there, and the house was a total mess. There were all kinds of food laying everywhere, dishes everywhere. He thought, my goodness, something's happened to my wife. And he was hurrying, getting through. And the more he walked through that house, the worse it got. And when he finally got to the bedroom, there she was watching TV and drinking a glass of tea, laying in the bed. She said, hey, sweetie, how's it going? He said, how's it going? He said, what in the world's happened here today? She said, well, you know, every day you come in and ask me how my day is gone and what I did today. Well, today I didn't do it. So a mother, she's got things going, and you just let her disappear from the home just for a little while, and that's what you got. Right, Brother Kyler? Amen. And so the mother has these laws. But somebody mentioned to me early in the early morning service, she is the lawmaker in the home. Mm-hmm. But we men need to be the law enforcers.
That's right.
And make sure the kids do what the moms say that they should do. And I mentioned that Byron's sister was really good at this. Myra's, her boys had not minded her all day. They had left early in the morning. She couldn't get them to come home. She would yell, and she could see them over there. They would act like they were not listening to her. And she told Byron as soon as he came in, and it was not good for those boys. He said to them, he said, boys, as he lined them up and took his belt off, he said, when you don't mind your mother, you're spitting in my eye. And he tore them up. And so and so he was the law enforcer. She was the lawmaker. So we say that a mother earns this honor by loving her children and by limiting them. And if you don't limit your kids in what they do and what they eat, and all these kind of things, they're not going to grow up good. They'll be rebels when they grow up, and if they won't listen to what you're saying, they won't listen to their teachers, and they won't listen to their employers, and they won't listen to their generals, and they won't listen to the people above them. The mother is giving authority into their hearts and minds when she makes these laws and makes them obey these laws. So we say that a mother builds honor by loving her kids, by limiting her kids, and by lifting up her kids. Hardly anyone can lift up your soul like your mother could. Can you remember how she was able to do that if your mother's gone? Mom made me think I was really great in so many ways. And she made all of our kids. She even made Lynn think he was great. And he was, and he is. But a mother builds those things into her children like maybe a father can't do at times. There's many things a father does, but they're lifting them up. But what better way can you lift up your children than to lift them up to God and to live the kind of life so if they can't read the Bible yet they can see the Bible in their mother. They could see their mother going to church, taking them to church. Let me read this passage, and then I'm going to ask Carolyn to describe or mention one of these words that's in this passage and explain to you how important it is for our mother's spiritual training to the lives of her children. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:5, "But you continue in the things which you have learned and you've been assured of, knowing of whom you've learned them, and that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation, which is in Christ Jesus." Well, this is a passage that I had read for many years and just missed the real import of it. When Paul wrote this to Timothy, I thought Paul was referring to himself. You know who you've learned the Holy Scriptures from. But he was not thinking of that at all, because he said, "You have learned these from a child." And the Apostle Paul did not know Timothy when he was a child. But he tells us in 1 Timothy that he said, "I delight every time I think of you, when I think of your faith, Timothy, that first dwelled where? In your grandmother, Eunice, and then in your mother, Lois, as well." So he was writing to Timothy about something he had learned when, Carolyn?
When he learned this when he was still in the womb. This word child, there's six different uses of the word child, and it talks about the different stages of a boy's life or a person's life. In this one, it starts at brevos, and that's the Greek word, and it means unborn. So a mother starts teaching about the love of God and about her love to a child. And I think you asked me earlier, mothers know how to touch. That's how they first start their love relationship with their children. But then the next stage is as a baby who can barely talk or can't talk. It's a toddler. So all throughout the stages of a life, a mother teaches and lifts her children up to God. There's many ways that you can do it, but one of the first ways is by like Morgan Wilson back here. I'm sure she's been teaching Kate all about her love already in the womb. And just so much that you can do. And the first thing she's taught about lifting Kate up is by bringing her to church.
That's right.
And that is one of the most important things we can do as a mother. And I know sometimes that we didn't do all the things that we knew to do, or we didn't even get raised in a Christian home. Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we didn't know God when we were growing up. But as a grandmother, now you get a second chance, or wherever you are in your relationship with your children, God wants you to still lift them up. And there's no greater way to lift up a child than through prayer.
Amen.
And so praying for your children and taking them to church. And we speak at the prison and the jails. And I think those women, many of them have made lots of mistakes, but they can start all over that day, and their children are still looking at them.
Yes,
some of their
amen.
Children are grown and have children, and that the greatest thing you can do is pave a way to heaven for your children. And if you don't go to church, you might be in that 80% of people who say they're a Christian, but they don't act like they're a Christian, or at least they don't spend their time investing, making sure that their children know that God is real and that God loves them.
Amen.
So,
you know, we didn't know some of these things when we were young, but
right.
Morgan, what you can do is lay your hand on your baby and talk to her and quote scriptures to her, and she's learning those scriptures
right.
while she's in your womb. And that's what this verse really is saying, that Timothy knew the scriptures when he was still in his mother's womb, and then when he was a newborn, he was. And there's amazing things that I challenge the younger women in the early morning service, if they were planning on having babies, to start doing that. We had a friend of ours who his mother, his name was Oke Chuka Ire Chuka, this African fellow from Nigeria. When his mother was carrying him in the womb, she went to a piano and would say, "Play the piano for him," and talk to him while she played the piano and said, "You're going to love the piano." and he was a concert pianist when he grew up. Mm-hmm. And she began in the womb teaching him. That's exactly what Paul is saying here, that when you were in your mother's womb, she was already filling your life up with the scriptures. Isn't that amazing? And so how many of you women are planning on having some more babies? Nobody raised their hand in the morning service either, you know, but if you do, then that use this technique. So look, a mother builds this honor through loving her kids, limiting her kids, lifting up her kids, and by leading her kids. A mother's leadership I'm going to show you how important this is in the life of a child. Our father's leadership, we got to have that. But there's an aspect of a mother's leadership that is really necessary. Listen to this passage. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, the word train there is a word that was used to describe a man leading a horse. And the way he would do it is he would put his hand into the horse's mouth, and I'm told the Hebrews, in ancient days, they didn't maybe have the good bridles that we had, but they could lead their horse that way by movements with their fingers in their mouths. Now, I'm not certain how that all went along, but it meant that the horse can sense exactly the movements, and the man could lead the horse in the right way that he should go with that technique. Well, it was used this way to describe how to raise children according to their natural bent and what they should, the way they should go. There are things about a mother's knowledge that are deeper than a father's knowledge about their kids. The mothers know a lot more about the kids than the fathers do. I don't know if that's a revelation to you or not, but they absolutely do. Adrian volunteered to spend the night with me in the intensive care room the other night. So before we drifted off to sleep, it usually takes me 5 to 10 seconds to do so. But I thought I'd talk a little bit with her. And so I asked her, I said, Adrian, can you tell me the differences in your children's, you know, one from the other? And I mean, she just rattled it off, you know. Oh, she said, Brock, he is a touchy-feely kind of guy, you know, and he wants his hand. And she went on to talk to him about his attributes and things like that. She talked for a while. She said, Micah, on the other hand, is shy, and she just went ahead and talked about how her was. And she said, and Sam, she said, there ain't no child like Sam whatsoever. So she said all of that. If I were to ask Caleb, what's the differences in your kids? He'd look for a while, and then he'd say, well, one eats a lot more than the other. And that would be about all he could come up with. But women know their kids, and they know their aptitudes, and they know what their likes and dislikes, what they can do and what they might not do so well. See, the mother needs to train the children, to sway them, to move them in the way that they should go. Now, of course, they should go to church, and they should go to God. And she's teaching that, but she's teaching a whole lot more than that, and this passage indicates that. She knows you like nobody else. You want to add something to that, babe?
You all know that your mother has eyes in the back of her head. God just gives right her there. Knowledge of when you're in trouble. And it doesn't matter if you're 80 years old and your mother is 100 like Bob and Mom Good was. She knew when, Bob was in danger or whatever, and so mothers know, especially, God gives them an extra amount of information about you so that she will pray for you, and she is that's very Amen. Knowledgeable in that area.
The fifth way that a mother can build honor is by learning to laugh with her kids. You know, we had a great mother that just filled our lives with laughter. She was a hoot. I was recalling in the earlier service about one day Mom said to us, one of you boys has to stay home and pick cotton. Actually, it was pull bowls. To pull bowls because pitchers were due at school. And we didn't have the money to buy the pitchers. So mother and one of her kids was going to stay home and pull bowls. How many of you even know what I'm talking about when I say pull bowls? Okay, maybe a third or a little bit more. It's when the cotton gets so bad, you can get cotton out so easy, you just pull the whole bowl and stick it in the cotton sack, and you don't even worry about it. You get the burrs and all. To pick cotton, you always pick the cotton out of the burrs, but when you're pulling bowls, you're just getting in there and pulling the whole thing. So that's what Mother was inviting. Now, she, Lynn, the oldest, strongest, tallest, stood there, me, the next, David and Donald. Out of those four industrious young men, which one did you think stayed home? Yeah, that's right. No, it wasn't David. Diane, yes, it was me, of course. I volunteered to stay home. The other guys went on to school, and we pulled cotton bowls that morning. We got an early start. Mom said, this is how much money we need. And she said, that means we got to pull like 250 pounds of bowls, and that'll be enough to pay for the pitchers. And so, man, we hit the cotton field early that morning. It was cold. We was wearing those brown cotton gloves. And it was cold that morning. We were pulling those bowls, and, man, we couldn't get any cotton in our sacks. I mean, we'd shake them down, and she said, well, but we might be able to do this by 11 o'clock. I said, Mom, there's no way we're going to get this done by 11 o'clock. It'd take all day at this rate. We were pulling those cotton bowls. It just wasn't good cotton at all, but we were talking back and forth. So one of my fondest memories of Mom. So some of the things you might think is the worst thing is the best thing because it stays with you so long. And then we heard someone whistling with a Mexican voice, and they were carrying an 8-foot cotton sack packed full of cotton bowls on his shoulder. It was just sticking out like a log, and he whistled by us while we couldn't get that cotton bowls in our sacks, you know. And I said, how'd he do that, Mom? She said, Lordy, Rudy, I don't have any idea. And we got to laughing, and we almost laughed until we couldn't hardly stand it, laughing at that Mexican who was able to pick so much cotton in just a short time. And Mother left so much laughter and so many memories of having good times, even if you were doing about the worst thing you can imagine a kid would want to do on a cold morning, pulling bowls for school pitchers. But she made it a fun time that I've always remembered. And your mother's laughter is something you're going to long to hear as soon as you get to heaven, and because of how much she's done in teaching us. So those are all the ways that a mother builds honor. Did you want to add to that before we move on?
A mother, you know, she does create the atmosphere of the home, and laughter should be one of the major parts of your home life. And always, you know, just try to, like James said, make a party. My mom always had a party, whatever we were doing. So you can make hard work fun, whether it's going, whatever you're doing, you can make that a really good time. But there's a line that sometimes you need to watch with your parents. When your parents get older, the world wants to tell them they are worthless, and that they don't know anything, and that they don't really have too much to add. So the world starts devaluing your parents. And as the world does that, they get enough of that out there. So as an adult child, make sure that when you start having fun at home and you start making, you know, you start, the laughter starts happening, and it just rolls on. Just make sure that you don't cross the line and start making fun of your parents. Mm. That is something that will really hurt them deeply if you do. So, but always keep things light and having a lot of fun.
Amen. Here's the five ways that children ought to honor their parents. And the first one is by rising up. In the book of Proverbs, it tells us that your children,
that
her children.
Just get out of bed, huh?
Yeah, that would be good. Her children shall rise up. And there's a story that I enjoy from the book of 1 Kings. Solomon has become the king. His mother Bathsheba desires an audience with him about something that she thinks is pretty serious. And so she comes and asks to see the king. He's sitting on his royal throne, and his mother comes in. His assistant there announces, King, your mother's here. And here's what happened. The Bible says that Solomon rose up just like it's said to do in the book of Proverbs. And the Bible says he bowed to her. And then he got her a throne. And he put her a throne beside his throne on the right. And then he was asked her to go ahead and share what she wanted to share. My point in that is the way that Solomon and the way the Scripture puts the respect that he had for his mother, that he rose up immediately and he bowed before her and he put her on the throne beside him, and then they begin their chat. So this is all speaking of respect. You know, respect is something that that all of us need, but certainly we need to show this to our moms. We show it in our eyes. We show it in our gestures. We show it, like Carolyn was referred to here, in our tones and all of these things, to show that here's someone that we absolutely love and respect. And so you can show honor to your mother by rising up and respecting her for all the things that she's done. Secondly, you could rise up and you can praise up. The other part of that verse in Proverbs is her children shall rise up and call her blessed. And so you begin to speak to her verbally and tell her all the wonderful things that she's done for you in your life. You know, I think, I'm not sure, but I'm guessing that a mother would appreciate your gifts and flowers and all these things that would gladden her heart. But I would suspect that what she would want most of all is for you to sit down, look into her eyes, tell her how much you love her, and then begin to enumerate the things that she's done for you. And I believe she would enjoy that probably more than any other gift, and that you noticed what she's done, that you registered the sacrifice, that you understood the pain that we often bring into our parents' life, and then you say thank you for always being there no matter what. And I believe that a mother would enjoy that.
Yes, and, you know, in the Proverbs, woman talks about the husband is the leader who teaches the children to praise and to honor. So, men, it is God has appointed you to be a teacher to make sure that your children do honor and praise and respect. And women, we also teach our children how to respect as well.
Amen.
Our fathers and husbands.
So here are the ways we can honor our moms: by rising up, by praising up, and by putting up. Now, you know, when somebody says, put your money where your mouth is, what they're saying is, if that's what you really believe, show it, you know. And so we need to show our parents how much, and our mother, by things that we do. If you're a young child, by obeying them. When I talk to a child, and as I do at times as a pastor, giving some help to children, what I try to tell them is that the best thing that you can do, the greatest thing that God wants you to do right now, is obey. There's not anything better than that, that you can do, is to obey it. And what I'll say to them is, I'll say something to get this point across, because none of us understand very well, including us older guys, about obedience. So I say, you need to super obey. You need to over obey. Because finally they get the idea, I just need to do what I'm told. I need to do what mom wants me to do. And you know, the greatest thing that a child can learn, when they learn this, when they learn to be obedient, and you see some mothers who are able to do this, who are able to deal with their children in honor by doing these other things, loving them but limiting them, not letting them get away with anything and everything, and by doing the things they should do, that when the child learns, this is what my mother wants, okay, that's what I'm going to do then. Now, John Wesley, his mother, Susanna Wesley, was raised 15 children. All of them were very successful. She really had this down. She learned to teach them obedience. Here's the way she did it. She said, when a child disobeyed me, I gave them the benefit of a doubt. One time that they didn't understand. So she said, I would get down on their level, look them right in the eyes and hold their shoulders and said, here's what I told you to do, but here's what you did. Do you understand? You disobeyed? Yes, Mama, I understand. She said the next time it happened, she took out a switch and wore them out. Consequently, she can go about all of her business and doing what she needed to do with the tone of her voice, because they learned we got to do what Mama says. And so you learn quickly, if you just did what Mama said while we're growing up, then when you got older, you'd be the best employee, a best soldier, best on the job, because you will carry the people that are promoted in life are the ones who respect authority. When you don't respect authority, you're not going to be promoted. And so a mother does great in teaching this to kids, and kids need to put that up with obedience. And that's why this passage says, here's a great commandment. Children, obey your parents. You want to add to that, babe?
You mean to read the scripture here that you've got?
Well,
on the next one.
Yeah.
No, I don't really have anything, just to move along.
Okay, to move this along, us kids can honor our parents by rising up, by praising up, by putting up, and here's an easy one, by shutting up. Sometimes all you got to do is shut up to be successful. If you learn that, when the one speaking is in command, just shut up. That's all you got to do. And sometimes that's what the mother needs, is for you to shut up when you're a child and hear her out and let her have her say. Here's one of the stiffest admonitions, I believe, in the Bible. It's in the book of Proverbs. Karen, would you like to read this in Proverbs 30:17? Listen to how serious this is. God thinks about children not following through with what parents say.
This is not one of my favorite scriptures. The eye that mocks at father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the eagles shall eat it.
Wow.
I always skipped that verse when I was teaching my children, you know, but I did say you ought to obey, you know. But one of the things that James is making the point here of for children, but let me just make this point for women, okay? The point is by shutting up. There are certain things that we as women, we just have to say to you, especially to you men who are our husbands. And so, and it's therapeutic for women to be able to share what is in her heart. So if you as husbands and you as teenagers especially, if you will just let her have her say and say it, you know, listen and nod at least. But you know, you and James start learning to nod knowingly that you're listening, you know. But
Bubba's very good at giving the appearance that he's listening. I noticed that.
but that does help us. And I know that we are one of the major problems that we get criticized for is being naggers. And so we won't say it five times if you'll listen to us the first time, okay?
All right. All right, here's the last thing about what we can do. We can rise up, we can praise up, we can put up, we can shut up, and we need to show up.
Amen.
What I'm thinking about here is there's a tendency after we get out of the nest and we start our families of our own to forget where we've come from and how much we owe our parents. Listen to what the Bible says. Hearken unto your father who begat thee, and despise not your mother when she's old. You know, it's one of a sad thing when a child forgets all the benefits bestowed upon them by mom and dad in their life, and they don't show up anymore. I remember mother, she just longed for us. After we all left and had families of our own, she would look for us to come. And if one of us was irregular in coming, she would be sure to say to the other one, well, tell James or tell the other one I said hi. Haven't seen him already in 3 days or something, like whatever it was, you know. And so, but she wanted them to come. And they deserve that. They deserve all their lives. I believe one of the things that God's going to do when he judges the Christians, as soon as you die, I believe you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, not to be judged of your sins, but how well you used what God gave you to use, how well you were a steward of your time, your talent, your treasure, and your relationships. In other words, how you treated the important people in your life. And I believe he's going to be pretty hard on us if we forgot about mom, don't you? I believe if we did not remember her as she got older and brought honor to her. I believe God is going to dress us down for that. And the Bible says something that some of our works will be all burned up that didn't amount to anything and will suffer loss. And I believe there are going to be young men or older men then stand before God and suffer loss at the judgment seat of Christ because of the way they did or did not treat their mothers.
I'm going to let you go ahead.
Okay. Our time's up this morning. I'm going to give one person who may feel the opportunity that they'd like to stand up and say something about your mother. So if that's on the heart of anybody, you got just a few seconds here to do that, to stand up. Is there anybody that's in their heart that wants to do that? Okay, I know you all love your mom, so I want you to bow your head with me. We've been praising God for our mothers today, but we want to give glory to God, to God, for the mothers that He's given us, and we also want to point you not to mothers, but point you to God for your salvation. As much as we need our moms, we all need the Lord in our lives, and we cannot survive without Him. If you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me give you this advice. It's only one life, and it will soon be passed. It's only what you did with Jesus that will last. At the end of this life, you must have Christ, Jesus Christ, in your life to be where you want to be at the end of your life. That requires these things from a man or woman, that you come to a place where you give up living your life for yourself. It's called repentance. That you make choices now, not just because it's going to be good for you, but because it's what God wants you to do. You turn to God. That's repentance. You change your mind about God and give God His rightful place. And there's only one place that's the right place for God, and that's in the center of your life, in the leadership of your life. So you repent, you put your faith in Jesus, and you make Him the boss of your life. And you can do that and begin this life with a simple prayer, as simple as this. Heavenly Father, today I ask You to forgive me of my sins. Today I ask You to come into my life. Today I put my faith in Jesus and I make Him the boss of my life. Thank You for saving me today. If you're praying this prayer, would you lift your hand up in the air? Just hold it up and you can put it down if you really intended that. Are you?